I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of the Revelation tonight, chapter 3, and reading at verse 14. The book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and reading at verse 14. Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 14. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker here. And he said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and of need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And may God bless his truth to all of our hearts this evening. Just imagine that it's a hazy, lazy Saturday afternoon. You've been out working in the garden, catching up on the various chores, cutting the grass, looking after the flower beds, trimming the hedges. You've finished, you think, for the day, and you come inside home and you get that cool, refreshing drink. You sit back, you relax. You want to take it easy. But then as you look around your house, you see a home that has suffered from a week's worth of being lived in by a husband, a wife, three kids and a dog. And then you begin to realize that when it comes to housework, your day has just begun. But as you begin to get up to clean the house, the doorbell rings and you wonder yourself, who on earth could be calling at my home on a Saturday afternoon? And you go to the door, and lo and behold, there stands before you the Queen herself. I wonder how you would feel. It may surprise you to know that right now, knocking at the door of your heart tonight, at the hearts of those who are not saved, is one greater than the Queen. And his name is Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, tonight, no matter how dusty, no matter how dirty, no matter how dark your heart may be, if you open the door of your heart to Jesus Christ, he'll come in. He'll clean up the dirt. He'll sweep out the dust. And thank God, he'll light up the darkness. He will turn your heart of grief and guilt into a home of grace and of glory. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is probably the best known and most famous verses in the whole book of the Revelation. Untold numbers, untold multitudes have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ through the preaching of this wonderful text. Its truth influenced an artist by the name of Holman Hunt to paint one of the most beautiful, one of the most tender portraits of the Lord Jesus the world has ever seen. Now, although the primary application of this verse is to the saint inside of the church, its real and secondary application is to the sinner outside of the church. Hear the Lord Jesus.
is standing primarily outside the door of the church of the Laodiceans. That's the primary interpretation. He's seeking an entrance into a church that has shut him out. But gospel preachers down through the ages have seized this text and used it as a text to preach the gospel. I want you to notice tonight three very simple things in the text. First of all, I want you to notice a picture that is amazing. A picture that is amazing. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Secondly, I want you to see a promise that is assuring. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." Thirdly, I want you to see a presence that is abiding. "I will sup with him and he with me." This is such a startling truth that the Lord Jesus says, "Behold." In other words, he's saying to us tonight, stop. Stop for a moment on the road of life. Look, listen. Even our Lord knew it would be hard to believe that the one who created the universe would stand at the door of one of the heart of a human heart to gain an entrance. What an amazing picture this is set before us this evening. Because here is a picture that sets before us the person of Jesus Christ. He says, "Behold, I stand." You say to me tonight, "Preacher, who is it that stands outside the door of my heart?" Well, he tells us in this very passage, he's someone who is truthful. He calls himself in verse 14, the Amen. You say, what does that mean? It means that which is true. When someone makes a statement, we often say, "Amen." We're simply saying that's the truth. When someone prays, we say, "Amen." We're simply saying that's the truth. When the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again," he was speaking the truth. When the Lord Jesus pulled back the curtains of time and let us see into eternity and let us see the awfulness of hell itself, he was speaking the truth. When Jesus said, "Ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come," he was speaking the truth. The Lord Jesus will never pull the wool over your eyes. He's someone who is faithful. He also describes himself in this passage not only as the truthful one, but he describes himself as the faithful one. He calls himself the faithful and the true witness. You see, because he is the truth tonight, then everything he says is true. His witness is accurate. His witness is dependable. His witness is reliable. The one that stands at the door of your heart tonight, my dear friend, he's the truthful one. He's the faithful one. He's the powerful one. For he describes himself as the beginning of the creation of God. Do you ever pause and ask yourself, where did this universe all come from? Well, Jesus Christ, who stands at the door of your heart tonight, is the creator of this universe. Some of you are saying tonight, well, if I get saved, if I trust Jesus Christ, if I invite the Savior into my life, will he be able to keep me? Will he what? My dear friends, if he created the universe, if he sustains the universe, saving and keeping you will be no problem. You see, this picture is amazing tonight because it sets before us the person of Jesus Christ, and then it sets before us the presence of Jesus Christ. For he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Isn't it interesting tonight to notice that Christ is standing at the door of your heart and not someone else? He doesn't send someone else. He's not sending Michael. He's not sending Gabriel. He's coming himself. He's coming looking for us. He's coming seeking for us. He's coming knocking at our heart's door. He's coming inviting us to come to himself. I wonder tonight if you got the idea that you get saved because you seek God. Well, in a sense, that's true. But my dear friends, the only time when you will seek God is when God first seeks you. God always takes the initiative. We love him tonight because he first loved us. He first sought us. You remember that when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, the voice of God was heard in the cool of the day. Where art thou, Adam? The first call was the call of grace. The initiative was God. It's the shepherd that seeks the sheep. It's the housewife that goes looking for the kine. I tell you tonight, there are so many struggling and striving and straining to get into heaven when God simply wants heaven to get into us. I heard about a guy who always went to work by taking a ferry. He had to get a ferry from one end of the river to the other. And one day this man was late for work and he was trying to make this ferry because he wanted to be in work on time. And as he looked up, he saw the ferry in the distance and it was just 15 feet from the shore. And he thought to himself, well, I run for all my might. If I can run as fast as my legs can carry me, I'll make it. And so he began running down the steep hill. And he ran as fast as he could. And he reached the end of the pier. And he jumped. And he landed on the other side, flat on his face. He was cut. He was bruised. He was broken. Blood was running from his face. But he said, praise God, I made it. The captain of the ferry gave him a strange look and said, son, we're not going out. We're coming in. My dear friends, tonight, listen, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. You don't have to go looking for the Lord tonight. He's looking for you. If you will just simply let Him in, open the door of your heart, your life, He'll come in. Does it not amaze you tonight that Christ is standing at the door of your life? That shows me tonight that becoming a Christian has to do with my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with your church. It has nothing to do with your creeds. It has nothing to do with your ceremony. It has nothing to do with your works. Becoming a Christian tonight has everything to do with Jesus Christ. What an amazing picture it is. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It sets before us also the patience of Jesus Christ. Another translation puts it, I have taken my stand and continue to knock. You know, the Lord Jesus is a perfect gentleman tonight. How polite the Savior is. You see, He's the sovereign Lord. He can do whatever He pleases, whenever He pleases, through whomever He pleases. He could walk through that door if He wanted to, but He's the sovereign Lord. He's the gracious God who will not do so. I want to tell you tonight, He'll not enter a home where He's not welcomed. He'll not enter a heart where He's not wanted. He's willing to be the unseen guest in your life, my friend. But He's not willing to be the unwanted guest in your life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I wonder how long the Savior's been knocking at your heart's door. You know, He knocks in different ways. He knocks in times of triumph. He knocks in times of trouble. He knocks in times of plenty. He knocks in times of prosperity. Wonder, have you heard His knock? Wonder, have you heard His knock through the witness of a neighbor next door? Wonder, have you heard the knock of the Savior through the message of a gospel preacher? Wonder, have you heard the knock of the Savior through the testimony of a recent convert? Could it be, my dear friend, that you've heard the knock of the Savior on your heart's door through the circumstances of life, and you've heard His knock most clearly? You see, the Lord knocks at your heart's door tonight. He knocks through tragedy. He knocks through financial loss. He knocks through hospitalization. He knocks through sickness. He knocks through death. One of the greatest Bible teachers who ever lived was a guy by the name of R.A. Torrey. And when R.A. Torrey was a young boy living at home and growing up into a young man, his mother attempted through every means to get this man, to get her son to come to faith in Jesus Christ. She would put gospel tracts under his pillow. She would put them under his plate. She would put them in his books. She patiently and persistently tried to bring her son to Jesus Christ. Finally, R.A. Torrey got so fed up with home that he left. He left in bitterness and unbelief. He ran away from home. He ran away from his mother. But there was one thing that he could never escape. He could never escape the prayers of his loving and godly mother. And as he walked out of the door that day to leave, his mother said, Son, if you ever come to the darkest hour in your life, and you are going to, Then remember, the only way out is the God to whom your mother is praying. Well, you know, R.A. Torrey came to that darkest hour in his life. A brilliant college student, he came to the dead-end street of scholarship and intellectualism. And sitting alone one night, surrounded by the darkness of his unbelief, R.A. Torrey decided to commit suicide. He was going to take his own life, but then he said, "Just as I decided to take my own life, the Spirit of God flashed through my mind." He says, "I saw my mother on her knees praying to God for my salvation." He said, "I saw the Lord Jesus on the cross dying for my sins, shedding His blood for my sins. I knew that He was knocking at the door of my heart, and I let Him come in, and I was born again." How long has the Lord waited for some of you? How often has He knocked at the door of your heart? Week after week, month after month, year after year, what patience, what long suffering. He's not willing to write you off. He's not willing that any should perish. But my dear friends, the Bible also warns that the Lord will not always knock, that Christ will not always speak, that the Holy Spirit will not always strive. Wonder, is Christ knocking again at the door of your life? Maybe He's been knocking at the door of your heart in the past week that has gone into eternity. He's knocked at your door through some friend. He's knocked at your door through some trial. He's knocked at your door through some unexpected death. How will you respond tonight? You see, the Lord Jesus says here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." You know, that's a promise that is assuring. Here is a promise to anyone at any time, at any place, in any condition. Doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. If you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, He'll come in. I want you to know this tonight. There are three simple elements to this promise. There's the element of hearing. If any man hear my voice. The word actually means to listen to what is being said. If anyone hears and listens to my voice. Fanny Crosby was right when she wrote those words. Jesus is tenderly calling today. And my friend, if you will put your spiritual ear to the door of your heart, you'll hear Him call. You say, "Preacher, I don't hear the Lord calling. I don't hear His voice." Maybe, my dear friend, it's because you're not listening. I heard about two little girls who were looking at a portrait of the Lord Jesus knocking at the door of a home. And one little girl looked at the other and she said, "Why don't they let Him in?" And the other little girl responded and she says, "Well, maybe they're down in the basement and they can't hear." I wonder, is that what's wrong with you tonight? I wonder, have you purposely hid your soul in the basement of your heart so that you would not hear the Lord Jesus? Maybe you're saying tonight, "Well, I've tried to hear, but I cannot hear." That's not true. For the Lord Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." My dear friends, whether you hear the Lord Jesus or not tonight is not up to Him. It's up to you. For Christ is sounding a clarion call that can be heard by anyone who wants to hear. And if you want to open the door of your life to Jesus Christ tonight, the first element, the first step, the first stage is this. There is the element of hearing, and then there is the element of heeding. If any man hear my voice and open the door. You see, you do not become a Christian tonight by chance. You become a child of God by choice. You know something? There's one choice that God will never make for you. There's one choice that God will never make for you. My friend, God has chosen to love you. He doesn't love your sin, but He loves your soul. God has chosen to love you. God has chosen to send His Son to die for you at the place called Calvary. God has chosen to give you a Bible that you might know the way to heaven. God will do everything in His power to see to it that you have every opportunity to make the right choice. But the Lord will not make that choice for you. One of the most famous paintings in the world is the one that I have referred to, painted by Holman Halton, entitled Jesus, the Light of the World. And the artist pictures Christ, thorn-crowned, with a crown of thorns on his brow, and a lantern in his left hand, knocking at a closed door. And it's said that after completing the picture, Mr. Hunt showed this painting to some of his friends, and they commented on the merits of the painting. And then one of his friends said to Mr. Hunt, he spoke to him and he pointed out what he considered to be an omission in the painting. And he said, "Sir, you've no handle on the door." And the artist immediately responded and said, "You forget that the handle is on the inside. There's a Savior who stands at the door of your heart. He's longing to enter, why let him depart? He's patiently called you so often before, but always 'tis true you must open the door." There's the element of hearing. If any man hear my voice. There's the element of heeding and open the door. There's the element of honoring. I will come into him. You see, if you hear his voice tonight and you respond to the overtures of his grace and you open the door of your life to Jesus Christ, he'll come in. He'll honor your commitment. For Christ promises to anyone and to everyone who opens the door of your heart, "I will come in." Maybe you're saying, "Preacher, hold on for a moment. What if I choose to do that and open the door of my heart? How do I know that the Lord Jesus will come in?" My dear friends, there's only one way that you can know that, and that is because he said so. Maybe you're saying, "Well, what if I don't feel like that he come in?" My dear friends, salvation is not based on your feelings. It's based on God's faithfulness to his word. On one occasion, Napoleon was reviewing some of his troops on horseback. And as he went round the troops on horseback, suddenly his own horse bolted. His life was in danger. A private dashed from the ranks of the troop and grabbed that horse by the mane and brought it under control and saved the great general's life. And Napoleon looked down on the brave soldier and said simply three words, "Thank you, Captain." Right there and then he gave that private a promotion to the spot, on the spot. And when the soldier went back to the ranks, he didn't go back to the ranks of the ordinary guys. He went back to the ranks of the officers. He stood in line with the officers. And immediately they challenged him and they said, "Well, what are you doing here? You get back to where you belong." And the man replied, "I am where I belong. I'm a captain now." They said, "You're still in a private uniform. Who told you that you were a captain? How do you know that you're a captain?" And the soldier turned and pointed to the commander in chief. And he said, "Because he said so." My friend, if you ask Christ into your life tonight, listen, he'll come in because he said so. He says so. "If any man hear my voice, open the door. I'll come in." Why? Because he said so. Picture that is amazing. The Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, standing at the door of your life. A promise that is assuring. But look, a presence that is abiding. He says, "If you open the door of your life, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me." You see, when Christ comes in, he comes in to say, he comes in to stay. You know, your heart is not like a hotel with a checkout at 12 noon. Your heart becomes a home that Christ makes forever. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, he said, he will abide with you for how long? Forever. And my friend, when you open the door of your life to Jesus Christ, he comes in by his Spirit. And he abides forever. Oh, think of the difference his presence will make to my life. I'll come into him and will sup with him. You know, to us tonight, supper is not a main meal, at least well to some of us. But you know, the Greeks ate three meals a day. Breakfast was just a slice of bread dipped in a spot of wine. And then lunch, for the Greek was, well, just wherever he was. If he was down in the city, if he was in the square, that's where lunch was. But supper was the main meal of the day. That was the meal at which the man sat, the wife sat, the children sat, the family sat, and they talked for long enough. You know what it's like when you're on holiday, and maybe you're down in Spain, or maybe you're down in the Canaries, or maybe you're in Italy, and you're walking along the promenade at 9:30 at night, and you have just gulped in your dinner 3 hours ago, and the Spaniards are sitting, and at 9:30 they're sitting, and if you pass them again, at 11:30 at night they're still sitting. You see, there's no hurry. There's no haste. They're relaxed. They're sitting there talking for hours. That's the picture here. He says, I will share with him. He will share with me. And this mutual sharing will be the basis of the new life. Oh, what a difference his presence will make in your life. Your failure will be matched by his forgiveness. Your foolishness will be matched by his wisdom. Your weakness will be matched by his strength. Your fear will be matched by his courage. Your selfishness will be matched by his love. Can I ask you tonight, if you're not a Christian, how do you get on in life without Christ? How do you get on in life without Christ? How do you face the trials of life, the burdens of life, the perplexities of life, the problems of life without Jesus Christ? Listen, how will you face death without Jesus Christ? Oh, if you open the door of your life to Jesus Christ tonight, he'll come in. Think of the difference his presence will make in your life. Think of the permanence his presence will have in your life. For Christ speaks of coming in, but he never speaks of going out. Is that not the testimony of Scripture? The Lord says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. In every situation, in life and death and eternity, I'll be with him, he will be with me. My friend, if you open up your heart to the Lord, he'll open up heaven to you. Do you remember singing that little chorus when you were a child? Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I remember as a little boy of 9 years of age, kneeling at my father's knee, and praying that prayer. And you know something I've proved down through the years, that he not only came in to save, thank God he came in to stay. You remember that lovely story of the two on the road to Emmaus? They were downcast and disillusioned and disappointed. Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. And you remember that after he expounded unto them the Scriptures, the things concerning himself, it says he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. Abide with us. Abide with us. And Christ come in. That's what's involved in becoming a Christian. Asking Christ in. And when he comes in to save, and he comes in to stay. Several years ago, there was a lady who lived in a cottage not far from Balmoral Castle in Scotland. And when Queen Victoria was up there, it was her usual practice to call with some of the elderly folk. And one afternoon, this lady was in her cottage alone. She was in a foul mood. She had fallen out with the neighbors. You folk in Lurgan wouldn't know what that means. She had fallen out with the neighbors. And she had shut herself in and she had locked herself in. And she said to herself, I'm going to keep myself to myself in the future. And when they knock at the door and want to spend the afternoon with me and have afternoon tea with me, well, they'll have another thing coming. Presently, she heard a soft knock at the door. She set her lips and knocked away. She said, knock away. And then the knock grew louder. And she began to shout, you can knock until doomsday, she said. I won't let you in.
The knock was not repeated. And she heard footsteps moving away from the door. And she smiled and nodded to herself. She said, "They won't trouble me for now." She didn't smile the next day when she heard that the Queen Victoria herself, had knocked at the door of her little cottage. And she refused to let the Queen in. The Queen never knocked again. Someone greater tonight than all the kings and queens of this world is knocking at your heart's door. Will you let the Savior in? If you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would like a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now, you're doubting, give o'er. Just now, reject Him no more. Just now, throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Will you do that? Will you do it now?